wanted to kill, whether the man was me or Rajvic or both of us. It might have made sense to kill Dominika there and then, but he must have suspected she could be of use to him in the future. So he had let her live, until he returned, with the snakes he must have bought in the bazaar. And then he had killed her in a manner which he knew would speak to me, a private code of ritual murder which opened seams into the heart of my being. "The woman," I said, "she was off-world too?" But Tom seemed no wiser than I about that. Using Zebra's phone, I called Laurent, the pig whose kitchen I had half-destroyed during my descent from the canopy an eternity ago. I told him I had a final huge favor to ask of him and his wife, which was only that they look after Tom until things quietened down. "A day," I said, although in truth I plucked the figure from my head at random.
"I look after myself," Tom said. "No one stay with pig."
"They're good people, trust me. You'll be much safer there. If word gets out that someone witnessed Dominika being killed, the same man will come back. If he finds you, he'll kill you," I said.
"I always got to hide?"
"No," I said, "only for as long as it takes for me to kill the man who did this. And believe me, I'm not planning on spending the rest of my life doing it." The concourse was still quiet when we left the tent, meeting the pig and his wife just beyond the cataract of greasy rain, which fell endlessly down the building's overhung side, like a curtain of yellowing calico. The kid went with them, nervously at first, but then Laurent scooped him aboard, and their balloon-wheeled vehicle vanished into the murk like an apparition. "He'll be safe, I think," I said.
"You think he's in that much danger?" Quirrenbach said.
"More than you can imagine. The man who killed Dominika isn't exactly overburdened with a conscience.
You'll sound like you know him."
"I do," I said. Then we returned to Chantrell's car.
"I'm confused," Quirrenbach said,
as he climbed into the vehicle's bubble of dryness and light. "I don't know who I'm dealing with anymore. I feel like you've just pulled the carpet from under me." He was looking at me. "All because I found the dead woman," Pransky said, "or because Mirabelle has started going mad." "Quirrenbach," I said, "I need to know of places where someone might buy snakes, probably not far from here."
"Did you hear anything of what we just said?"
"I heard," I said. "I just don't want to talk about it right now."
"Tanner,"
Zebra said, then stopped herself, "or whatever you say you are, does this business about your name have anything to do with what the Mixmaster told you?"
"That wouldn't by any chance be the same one you visited with me, would it?"
It was Chantrell speaking now, and it was all I could do to nod, as if in that gesture I made my final acceptance of the truth. "I know some local snake sellers," Quirrenbach said, almost to ease the tension. He leant forward, over Zebra's shoulder, and fed orders into the car. It lifted smoothly, quickly spiriting us above the stench and chaos of the rain-sodden mulch. "I had to know what was wrong with my eyes," I told Chantrell, "why they seemed to have been tampered with genetically. What the Mixmaster told me when I returned with Zebra was that the work had probably been done by ultras, and then undone, crudely, as it happened, by someone else, someone like the black geneticists."
"Go on."
"That wasn't quite what I wanted to hear. I'm not sure what I was expecting, but it wasn't to find out that I must have been in some way complicit in the act."
"You think you willingly did this to your eyes?"
I nodded. "It wouldn't be without its uses. Someone with an interest in hunting, perhaps, might consider it. I can see very well in the dark now."
"Who?"
Chantrell said.
"Good question," Zebra echoed, "but before you answer it,